It's John Shannon, our Sportsnet NHL insider. Mr. Shannon, good morning to you.
Ryan, how are you?
No complaints. This is not the busiest of weeks in the sporting world, so we've been talking about weird things like Pokemon Go and expansion draft rules, but hey, we get to chew the fat a little more this week, I suppose.
Well, you know what? If I can do my expansion draft on my phone with virtual reality, maybe that's a way to make it more attractive.
Yeah, hey, not bad at all. Listen, we do want to get your insights on Vegas. We heard George McPhee announced yesterday. His name had been floating around this team for a while, and I think if you had to come up with a list on your own before this process had even started, he would have been one of the favorites. What do you make of the hire?
Well, I think that what you saw when George McPhee got hired was the influence of the NHL office in New York. I think that Gary Bettman and Bill Daly, Colin Campbell, they are concerned, as always, with startups and what teams need and the experience that teams need as they get closer to playing their first game. And when the decision came to finding a general manager, Bill Foley would phone Bettman and say, hey, give me who's at the top of your list? And obviously, the general managers that were out of work, the ones that had experience, the one that had experience in what I would describe as non-traditional hockey market, George McPhee would be at the top of that list. And that's probably why he got the job.
16 years in Washington, it's certainly not a green guy going in there. I think the NHL likes that. I'm always interested in sort of which way that pressure goes. Does Mr. Foley go to the league and say, gosh, I can't find a good candidate, help me? Does the league say, listen, you paid a huge amount of dough, but we really want to make sure you do this the right way. We want this to be successful on the ice. What would have happened if Foley wanted a guy that the league didn't like? Is there that much pressure there?
No, it's not that strident, the pressure. But trust me when I say that Mr. Bettman manages up brilliantly. And now that Bill Foley, after paying that money, is one of Bettman's bosses, and I think we'll get a better feel for that over the next 2 or 3 years, that Bettman's the expert when it comes to what the owners think about how teams should be run. When he is the first phone call they make, that's a reality of how the National Hockey League runs right now. I would believe that Bill Foley had a huge list. I mean, I bet you there were guys coming out of the woodwork sending Bill Foley their resume and trying to phone him and trying to contact him somehow. And then probably he went back and said, okay, listen, I need to distill this list. What works with this list? And that's how the McPhee name would rise to the top.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would think the other position the NHL would be very, very interested in would be, who's your AGM? Who's going to be your capologist? Who's the guy doing the numbers on contracts? Because, as you said, Gary wants teams to operate a certain way, and one of those things includes, you know, guys, don't use a lot of no moves. It's going to sting you down the road. A guy that strictly deals with contracts and numbers, they'd probably want some influence in, too.
Well, I think the heavy lifting for the league on that is already done by putting George in place.
Sure.
I think that now they have George there, that they, you know, all of the league personnel understand what George's philosophy of being a manager is and what he needs and how his teams are constructed. So I fully suspect now that you're going to be leaving the rest of that heavy lifting up to McPhee.
What do we take away from his 16 years in Washington? I think everyone gets caught up with the Philip Forsberg deal, which is an awful one, but it's tough to find a lot of bad decisions beyond that one, and I think every GM's got at least one of those.
We all have mistakes in our careers that we want to change.
Yeah.
I'm sure George has that. And from that perspective, I think that he's going to be in pretty good company.
He said he wanted to hire some scouts immediately. They've got a draft to get ready for next summer, even though they aren't participating this year. The Ivan Hlinka tournament's coming up. There's some, you know, we're not far away from guys getting back on the ice for some meaningful hockey. what does the staff look like year one versus year two? I mean, they don't need coaches yet, but they certainly have to get some scouts quickly.
Well, it's interesting. You teams have been built totally differently in expansion. Doug McLean hired a scouting staff first. And David Poyle hired a coach. Barry Trotz was one of the first hires that David made. And he allowed Barry to do a lot of the scouting that first year to get to know the league. So I think that there are different ways to skin that cat, Ryan. And I'll be fascinated to see how he handles all of that. George has and the other good thing from George's perspective is being around an NHL team in the last year and a half, the Islanders, and being around Hockey Canada. He's been exposed to a lot of very good hockey men. And I think that in addition to his background for the time he spent with the Capitals, he stayed current. And I think it's important to stay current in this game. And so that he may have learned more as a manager and as a person since he got fired in Washington than he did, for instance, for the last 5 years he was in Washington. And that will make him a better manager and probably get him a better opportunity to hire a good young scouting staff.
It's a great point. And we in Calgary here saw Brad Treliving go and manage the World Championship team. And all of a sudden there's already names from that coaching staff surfacing on the Calgary team. It's really a chance to get out of that, you know, one team silo and branch out and interact with some other people. I guess we shouldn't be surprised that Hockey Canada people and people that work for Hockey Canada are starting to show up in the Flames system, and that might not be shocking to see it in Vegas either.
I think that's viable. But I just think that when you're around the under 18 team scouting, when you're around the World Championships, when you're around a team like the Islanders, those are the things and those are the opportunities you. And you're not the manager. You have your eyes wide open, and you're looking at everyone. You're looking at when you're in the press box at a game. You're sitting and talking to other scouts for other teams, and that's something that I think is valuable information that you file away and say, hey, the next time I'm a manager, I like this guy. He's going to be on my list. And so I assume since George has been around the Foley camp for the last, 7 days, he's been going through his lists and talking to people. And here's the other thing, Ryan. He's also made note of people that have treated him well in the last 18 months. Anybody that's been fired, it doesn't matter. Yeah, don't have to be in hockey. Anybody that's been fired and has kept a list of the guys that kept in contact, the guys that were good to people, the guys that returned phone calls when you're down and out, you remember that. And I can guarantee you George McPhee remembers that too.
John, you look at this Vegas team, and they've got a GM now, but they still don't have a team name and a logo. And listening to Bill Foley yesterday, it sounds like there is some difficulty relating to trademarks and the gambling issue with Vegas. It sounds like this is quite the process that maybe Bill Foley didn't expect it to be. Can you shed some light on that team name for the Vegas team?
I don't expect to see anything before October. To be honest, team name, what the logo looks like, what the sweaters look like, that's icing on the cake. They can take their time. They don't have to rush. They don't get 100% of the money out of that pot. So, I mean, it's whatever the league thinks is the best business attack to making sure everything's right. From the beginning, he always wanted Black Knights, but it certainly sounds like Black Knights is going to be an issue of some sort. The other thing about the gambling, there's no question the Vegas team will be off the board. I don't think that's an issue. And so what we're talking about then is lifestyle, is how do you manage lifestyle for your people, particularly for the players where there's going to be some concern about how much. I mean, heck, I don't know if you guys recall in the playoffs, in the basketball playoffs, two Raptors were spotted in a casino in Cleveland and, yep, with front page headlines here in Toronto. Well, they're going to have to watch that. They're going to have to watch that aspect of it. And to me, that's a big part of of managing the process in Vegas. And I don't think Bill Foley should be surprised about that at all.
John Shannon of Sportsnet is our guest. John, you mentioned it. Poyle's first hire was Barry Trotz in Nashville. And, you know, some of the quotes yesterday, it sounds like there's no rush in Vegas to hire a head coach. I'm curious, from your, if you were to be a guessing man or a betting man, there's probably a good chance this Vegas team is without a head coach almost an entire calendar year. I would expect them to wait maybe until the end of next season to see what other options are out there for them, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a one I think that McPhee and Foley will have to sit and talk about all summer long. I do think I liked David Poyle's approach simply because the manager and the coach are going to be joined at the hip for a long period of time. I don't think you want the head coach to be a late arriving guy. I think you want a coach at this point to be part of the process and have a good, in the end, as the general manager, you don't coach. The guy has to coach a philosophy. You can't go and say, here's my philosophy, I'm going to find a coach that way. You're going to have to find a coach and say, okay, how does my philosophy change a little bit with this guy? I think that they will hire somebody. I think they'd be wise to hire somebody sooner than later. Because I think that he's, in the end, that first coach of the team, in many ways, is just as much a cornerstone. And in many ways, guys, will end up becoming a bigger spokesman for the franchise for years to come. And I do recall what Barry Trotz does. Let's face it. Look what Brad does in Calgary. Bob Hartley did most of the speaking for the Flames. I expect Len Gulletson to do most of the speaking for the team on a daily basis. That person has to be understand what the organization stands for. And I think you sign them and you get them into the fold, understand what I would describe in many ways as a corporate philosophy for a hockey team, if you want to put that in a hockey operations term. I think it makes some sense.
I'm curious, John, your overall feel on this Vegas franchise. A lot of people are doubting it. A lot of people are skeptical about the chances of success. I know the NHL wants to make this team competitive early to help increase those chances of being successful in a market like Vegas. What's your overall feel, John? Is hockey going to work in Las Vegas?
Well, I think that the fact that the league wants to create a competitive team tells you how important they feel the on-ice product is to the success of the franchise. There are lots of places that you didn't have to have a good hockey team for 4 or 5 years and you knew it was going to work. I've been one of those guys that's been on the cusp. I'm a little skeptical about it. I do think that winning will help. I don't think what I would say in hedging my bets about Vegas is I don't think any of us north of the border, and I, for the most part, anybody outside of the city of Las Vegas, understand what makes Vegas work now as a city. It's far beyond the Strip. I mean, they have suburbs just like McKenzie and Sundance and Coach Hill that we've never heard of. They have areas of the city that are as, you know, suburban as anyone in any of the areas of any major city in North America. How do they work? What is their philosophy there? How are they influenced by what we see as the Strip and what Vegas stands for? It's 2.5 million people. It's twice the size of Calgary. And that, to me, is a positive. But I don't it's difficult to judge. They say they've got 15,000 season tickets sold after the ticket drive, even after the 13,200 deposits that were put down. So things are going to look good early. So the team better be pretty good. And then we'll see. I give the honeymoon, and I mean, honeymoon in Vegas is a good term. I give the honeymoon 3.5 years before we can finally make a decision. And if in the fourth year they're paying into revenue sharing, guys, it's a mistake.
The NHL is the first of the big four to go there, John. And some people believe that, you know, there's others on the way. Do you believe an NFL or an NBA franchise in Las Vegas would hurt or help the NHL?
I don't think it matters.
No?
No. You know, sports fans are sports fans. The National Football League, the National Football League has impact in any city, whether you have an NHL team or not, and whether you have an NFL team or not. Vegas is a big NFL town now.
Mm-hmm.
Sundays are important for the NFL or for NFL fans in Vegas. So from that perspective, I do think the NFL will be the next league to go there. It certainly sounds like the Raiders are trying to make things work there. And the city is obviously, the mayor, Carol Goodman, is trying to make sure that, you know, teams and owners are finding Vegas attractive. The NFL experience wouldn't scare me one bit. I mean, it's 10 games. It's a different layer than the hockey. It's you know, a different half season. I don't see it as a big factor.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. It's 10 weekend events. It's entirely different than 41 events. And yes, they're going to be the big dog, but they're the big dog already. I'd already argue. I don't know that you're going to do well on Sundays.
Right. They're the big dog already.
Final one for you here. Just a thought on the process of these teams going through protecting players. It'll be fun watching some of these teams scramble to either get rid of guys they won't be able to keep or to, you know, I think especially the goalie market's curious. You look at what Pittsburgh's dealing with. Have you gone through the act of doing a couple roster protections and do you get a sense of what Vegas might be left with?
I haven't. I'll be honest. I'll leave that for the capologists and the analytics guys and guys that really enjoy looking at contracts. I have better ways to do my summer these days. here's the two things you talked about it earlier about the no move contracts. Gary Bettman's going to make sure that the guys who have no move contracts are punished and they have to be protected. The bigger issue for me is the guys that won't be protected that you don't want to lose. How do you manage their psyche? How do you phone them and say, hey, by the way, I couldn't protect you, but I really want you? There are going to be some hurt feelings amongst players who say, well, I'm good enough to be protected. And then they're not protected because contractually they can't be protected. So that to me, for the other 30 teams, is the biggest issue. And by the way, the Flames are only going to lose one player. They're going to lose one player. 30 teams are going to lose one player.
That's it.
Yeah. We might be making a little too much out of the protected list, and we might be making too much out of the draft.
Fair. Yeah. No, I think it's a nice little wrinkle to add at the deadline on top of what's already one of the fascinating days. But you're right. It's only one player per team. No one's going to get royally screwed here, right?
Well, no, that's right. What I'd really be interested in is next July 1st is how active this Vegas team will be in free agency.
Good call. Hey, John, enjoy the rest of your summer. We appreciate you taking some time for us in the middle of July. The dog days indeed, but a great hockey conversation. Thank you.
Have a good morning, boys, and dodge the drops at the Stampede.
That's right. That's what it's been this year.
Thanks, John.
It's John Shannon of Sportsnet.